The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Good Tuesday evening. It is Inside Florida Racing on the Real Racing USA Network, and I am your guest host tonight for actually the first new show right out of the box, Racing Jason Beckner, the Suitcase Jake of announcers of South Florida, and getting ready for a big show tonight. In the studio with me tonight, we got the man himself, Jack, and Carol Wicks with us also, getting ready to have a good time tonight. Going to kick it off big time with one of the infamous names in auto racing, Florida, there, that Florida's very own Gary Ballou, going to be on the show tonight. So, got a lot to look forward to. And wow, what's that?
I don't know.
we have something loose. We have a rogue loose.
I think it's you
in the studio here.
Yeah,
we go.
I don't play guitar that.
And
well,
I am so. Jack, one day at a time, Smith. And Carol, good to see you. Carol Wicks.
Good to see you too, and especially having our show. Am I too loud?
No, you're not too loud, but Cece Brooks, unfortunately, has had a huge migraine all day long, and she's listening to the show at home instead of here with us in the studio. She'll be back next week.
I'm
hey,
sorry,
Cece. Hope you feel better. And me and Jason have come full circle here.
Yeah, we have. Started out
we
here.
We did the first shows, and hopefully this won't be the last.
No, I'm pretty excited about it. We got a lot of neat stuff coming up this year. A lot of pretty neat interviews on the way. Got lots of big things going on. We are going to be having a deal, kind of a, well, really can't call it a reunion, but, you know, racetracks are few and far between anymore, and they all keep dropping by the wayside. And we're going to go back through some history from the USA Speedway here coming up in a few weeks. And kind of neat, you know, we might even get to talk to Gary Blue about that a little bit later on tonight. I mean, his home track is no longer there. It's a Lowe's right now, you know, the old Hialeah Speedway. And do believe they're getting ready to have a reunion pretty soon. Do you know anything about when that's going to be coming up, Jack?
No, but I'll tell you this thing, I don't. But the USA International Speedway, the men, the memories, and probably a few women too. I'm excited about that. That's it may actually end up being a couple of 2-hour shows because there's we want to like lay down the history of that place and just so many exciting things and just memorable times at that racetrack. And
me and you talked about it, and I think you hit the nail right on the head when you said, you know, that was our Daytona. That was Florida's Daytona.
Yeah, buddy.
And, you know, tracks, they need to get their head out of the rear ends right now because, you know, the way the shape of the economy is, and they just we're not going to have them. That's our passion. That's why we're here. That's why you folks listen online when we do these radio shows and when we have our guests from young drivers up and coming to even, you know, older drivers that have been around like Gary Ballou, and we're going to be talking to him a little bit later. And should be pretty neat. I mean, I know I've got a lot of questions. His last race at Syracuse was, I do believe that was 1980. He won that race. I was just a little kid, and I was actually there for that race. Now, Carol, you're from up in the Northeast. Now, did you ever get a chance to see Gary Ballou race?
Are you kidding? I don't remember anything from 2005 up to now. I'm old.
Well, we were discussing that.
No, I did not know Gary at the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were discussing that. You know, you actually stopped to smell the roses today when you walked into the studio.
Yes, I did. Kind of scary, actually.
But we're going to be kicking it off here in just a little bit with Gary Ballou. And if you have any questions, if maybe you want to ask something, you know, from Gary, I've got a lot of questions. I've got a bunch of questions. And actually, you'll be able to get a hold of us on the Twitter and also on the, what's the other one we're getting from?
Well, okay, so we can do Twitter, and you can check us out at Twitter/RealRacingUSA. Also, email us at Karnak@comcast.net. We have Carol will be checking the email. I'll show you how to do that in a minute, Carol. We'll check the email, Karnak@comcast.net. And also, you could text us at either 941-228-8359. Write it down now. 941-228-8359. Or
you can text me right here in the studio at 239-645-5858. Go ahead, get your pens out, write it down again. You can text myself, Racing Jason, at 239-645. Was that right? Yeah, 239-645-5858. I never call myself.
Nobody calls themselves.
And please don't do it while you're driving.
Oh, yeah. Well,
No texting and driving at all.
But, you know, last weekend, it was kind of a tough night in racing in the state. A lot of rain around the place. And I'm a former announcer over at the Punta Gorda Speedway and was looking online. And, boy, Carol, were you there? Were you over at the track?
No, I was on my deck looking at the big black sky and the tornadoes and everything headed that way.
I was checking out their website. They had 22 late models, 21 Legends cars. Mm-hmm. You were telling me the pits were packed. They were overflowing. And that's a good deal. That's, I mean, you know.
I think they had 112 cars or something like that.
Yep, yep. And we had a pretty good showing out at Hendry
and
County.
And DeSoto Speedway had a bunch of cars that night.
Yes,
Rick was telling
did.
Me, too. So.
Yeah.
So it was a good night of racing all around throughout the state, except over in Punta Gorda. I mean, they got hit hard. And got rained out, and which was kind of bad for them because now they're shut down for a couple weeks doing some renovations over there. So
it'll be worth it when we go back.
And I want to, before we even get started with Gary Ballou tonight, I want to thank Rex Hollinger and Marty Little, who assisted us behind the scenes immeasurably with information that will be helpful for this show. And thank you guys a lot.
You know, I've been looking. I just, as soon as you told me, you called me up at the house. You asked if I was sitting down, Jack, and you asked, you know, says, "You ready for this? Because we're going to interview Gary Ballou." And I was kind of beside myself, you know. Just a few weeks earlier, I got to interview the Flintstone Flyer himself. And, you know, and now I get to interview Gary Ballou. So it's like I'm kind of in hog heaven right now. So. But once again, if you'd like to text me with any questions for Gary Ballou, you can text me at 239-645-5858. One of the things we were kind of touching on here a little bit ago before we started the show and before we really talked to Gary Ballou is you know, state of racing in Florida. I mean, this is kind of like beating a dead horse, but it is a problem. It's a big problem. I've got family that live up in the Carolinas, and they race in the South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia area, Alabama. And actually something I've come across, even being with the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series and going out with some of Ken Kenny's races, those tracks up north, they work together. They absolutely work together. We had a rain out at Waycross for the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series, and the track owners and the series owners, they made sure that they knew the rain was coming in. They canceled that race early enough, and they said, "Hey, there is a national late model race right down the road. You guys need to go over there and run and try to support those guys." And it's the same way when you know, that was dirt track. It's the same way with the asphalt tracks. My little brother runs Anderson Speedway in South Carolina, the new Gresham Motorsports Park, and Lanier Speedway in Georgia. And those tracks, they're all within probably about 80 miles of each other, and they work together, and it pays off for them in high dividends. And, you know, track owners and promoters, listen up. You know, it's a new day. It's a new age. And I'm pretty sure we're going to be touching on that here in the next few weeks to come, in the next few months, because you know, you had Hialeah disappear. Who knows what the status of Sunshine Speedway is. USA Speedway's closed down. And I don't like beating a dead horse, but this, you know, I love stock car racing. I love auto racing in general. And you track owners, I mean, you know, a lot of you guys know me, and I won't pull any punches. You guys need to do something about your dwindling car counts, your dwindling fan counts, and stuff like that. You're getting a little upset,
Rick,
over there.
Rick was supposed to send me. Rick, I'm really upset now. Oops. You were supposed to send me the dead horse audio because I knew it was going to come in handy, and you didn't send it to me. Well, we'll have to dig that one up.
Well, you know, the way they're doing things right now, it seems to me like they're shooting themselves in the foot.
I don't know if Jack even really wanted me to get on this tangent. He's getting a little twitchy over there, but
he's looking good alive.
You know, it just ceases to amaze me. I mean, if these Florida tracks would really just take a step back and honestly, guys, look at what they're doing up north. It's not that hard. And, you know, you guys don't have to like each other, but it'll pay off for you in the long run, and racing will be so much better in Florida. I mean, you know, I've been in the meetings before, you know, oh, yeah, it's not that easy. Yeah, it is that easy, guys. You just got to look at each other's schedules. It's not that hard.
It's not personal. It's business. Hey, how about we take a break and then come back with Gary Ballou?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, well.
Beating that dead horse.
Well, actually, I think things are starting to come around.
The future of medicine is happening now. Utopia Wellness in Clearwater, Florida is a leading-edge medical center that offers integrative, holistic, patient-focused medical treatments. Utopia offers a full menu of wellness programs that complement each other by addressing all the issues related to well-being. Programs at Utopia Wellness are designed for anyone who wants to enjoy optimal health. Whether you're suffering from a chronic illness or simply wanting to prevent disease, Utopia has a personalized program that is right for you, including alternative cancer therapies, chronic degenerative illnesses, heart and vascular disease, immune system enhancement, detoxification and colon therapy, and medical weight loss. I invite you to call 727-799-9000 727-727-6060 or visit utopiaoh.com. That number again is 727-799-9060. My name is Jack Smith, and I highly recommend Utopia Wellness.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Bad things do happen to good people. It's a sad fact of life. Sometimes you just have to have an attorney to represent you or your family. I recommend attorney Timothy M. Grogan. Timothy Grogan is a Florida-based lawyer with offices in St. Petersburg, Venice, and Bradenton. Attorney Timothy Grogan's firm provides the skill and knowledge you deserve with legal representation in the areas of criminal defense, bankruptcy law, foreclosure protection, real estate law, and family law. www.timothygrogan.com for the office nearest you. Remember, bad things do happen to good people. When you need an attorney, I recommend Timothy Grogan. www.timothygrogan.com.
I was watching him on PBS.
Yeah, you guys are probably, well, Carol's not too young, but you're probably too young to remember this, Jason. But there was Clapton as God. Was that all? I mean, that's how crazy it was back then. But we have somebody else that's even bigger than Eric Clapton these days in Florida racing.
Right now on the air live, Florida's very own, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Gary Ballou. How you doing, Gary?
Hey. Is this Jason or Jack?
No, this is Jason, but Jack's right here with me, and we also have Carol Wicks in the studio with us. You know, Gary, you've been around racing a long, long time. Probably one of the biggest things is back in 1980, I was just a little kid. I was probably about 8 or 9 years old, and my dad took me over to Syracuse to watch you race, and you actually won that night in that infamous 112 Batmobile car. And I remember being a little kid and you know, getting to go through the pits and stuff with my dad and see that, and I was just in awe. And now, you know, I'm 37 years old, and I couldn't believe when Jack told me that I got to interview you. I was like, this is just too cool. I've made it full circle.
Wow, that's cool, man. I'm glad to hear that. You know, that's been a while back. We're getting ready to go to Syracuse now here in about a week or two, and we're going. It's like a 30-year reunion deal, and they're going to bring the Batmobile back out. We're going to do an autograph session and some TV and some things up there, you know, for Corey Reed, the promoter. And I'm looking forward to it. It's pretty exciting.
So the Batmobile still exists. It's still around somewhere.
Yes, it's in a museum up there in Weedsport, New York. You know, the car went to Ferriola's after I raced it because I was running Cup cars and Nationwide cars at the time, and then Anthony drove it a couple races, and then, of course, the rule structure changed it. We weren't allowed to race it much, but Ferry Olsen gave it to Glenn Donnelly, and it went in a museum there in Weedsport. So they're going to bring it out of Mount Falls and bring it to the racetrack and for, like I said, the autograph session. And we're in, right now looking at building a car for 2011 with Ferry Olsen and Danny Dreiner out of Indianapolis and Carl Van Horn as the fabricator. And a lot of good people. You know, we got some people with Ganassi Racing that are engineers that want to work on some different suspension setups for us, you know, rear sway bar and so forth. So we're looking forward, really, to 2011 to go back and do a little dirt racing, you know, with primetime racing again. So
that,
and we're hoping that we can do something to tie this thing together with Bucknell Racing, BRP, Pete Bucknell, as an experimental car and something for 2011.
So you're kind of picking up right where you left off back in the 80s. I was reading an article, and you were quoted as saying as your dream team back then with Kenny Weld, Mario Rossi, Whip Mulligan, and Grant King when you guys built the Batmobile. I mean, it sounds like you've got another dream team together.
Well, that's kind of the game plan. You know, we're trying to put some good people together. We're putting Ray Jaggard with Power Source and Mike Hagee, who built motors for Petty and, you know, Robert Yates and for Ray Evernham and so forth. And we're putting a lot of good people together, and Bobby Allen's involved from Miami, you know, race sprint cars, and Tim Light, he was involved in some of the aero stuff, and yeah, we're putting a lot of good people together, doing a lot of research, and we want to do something different, you know, within the rule structure, but, you know, different and bring something new into modified racing up here in that area.
You know, we want to get into what you have going on right now, and we're just kind of touching on it a little bit with you getting, you know, some deals together with Chip Ganassi and trying to get back up there to Syracuse and run that. Are you going to be getting into the car? Are you going to be racing again?
Well, here's what we're doing. We're putting a late model car together for Florida right now. You know, with some kids that grew up around me, Bobby Orr and Michael Kay, and it's a Hamke car, and we just had reclipped it and everything, and working on a motor deal. It'll probably be a Dodge with Mike Agee. And what we're going to do is I'm going to run some short track races, just see where I'm at and see how I feel about it, and then we'll make a decision then. But we're going to test when the modified car is done. We're going to test at Volusia, and we'll do some aero testing at New Smyrna probably, and then we're going to take the car to Springfield. And when I take it to Springfield on a mile, then I'll have somebody there, Blaney or somebody, or Pete Bucknell or somebody there behind me to just see how I stack up with them. And the object is to take the car and go to the racetrack and win. And I feel like if I've lost a little bit of my edge, that I'll put somebody good in it. You know, I mean, there's some names out there, but maybe even put Brett Hearn in the thing. You never know.
I want to touch a little bit on, like, how you got started in racing. I mean, you were an innovator in aerodynamics, and I had several people shoot me some emails and also shot some Jack some emails, and you know, they're telling, you know, you led the aerodynamic revolution in short track racing, you know, which comes right down to the Batmobile, and you guys changed the face of dirt modified racing. Did you learn all of that aero work yourself, or were you taught? Did you guys have access to wind tunnels? I mean,
basically where that all started. That started back with a Hanley car. You know, we had a lot of downforce with that car, and Junior had a pretty good balance with it. And then I teamed up with Pete Hamilton and Ray Stonkus, and it was like we did a lot of testing at New Smyrna. We'd add to the front and get the car to where it'd be loose, and we'd add to the back and make the car push, and we just kept balancing, 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 and we got into center of pressure, and then we got into drag, and I learned it from that. And then, of course, with the cup racing that I did in Nationwide cars and Busch, and the modified cars that I run, aero was a big factor in some of it, and I was around some of the wing cars. You know, I run some wing sprint cars, so I had some experience with air, but I always felt like air was kind of free. It wasn't free because, you have to build stuff and you have to test and design, but I really got off into the aero part of the deal, and I think aero was a big part of our package for a long time, you know, especially there at Syracuse with Batmobile. I mean, the thing was way ahead of everybody with aero, you know, with the roof being high, and of course with the pods and everything that was going on underneath the car, and just way ahead of them with that package. And of course we had a Hutter motor, and the motor was excellent, and we had just a lot of good people, man. I mean, when you think about it, we had Marjo Rossi and Ray Stonkus and Pete Hamilton and Don Brown and Kenny Weld and just on and on and on and on. And those were all talented people in their own field, you know. I mean, it was like you said, a dream team, like the O.J. Simpson dream team.
Yeah, I read that, and I really wanted to quote you on that. But when you guys rolled in 1980 with the Batmobile, I mean, you know, coming from a racing family, yeah, I know whenever we rolled into a track and we knew we had a trick up our sleeve, I mean, we just sat there with our arms crossed, and it was kind of like, okay, guys, do your worst. Let's see what you can find. I mean, I know it had to be fun going in there with you guys just totally obliterating the gray area of racing and open wheel modifieds.
Well, you know, the crazy thing about that was that I had broke my neck at New Smyrna, won like six nights in a row and broke my neck during the World Series, and I had already committed with Joe Booth and Kenny Weld to do that car, to do that program. And Kenny Weld had told me, he said, he had watched me race for years and race with me, and I had run a car like 100, got myself in a lot of trouble driving a car that hard at times, and he felt like he could build me a car that I could drive 75% lap to field. And I said, well, if you can do that, I'm in. He did better than that, you know what I mean? And the car was never tested until it got to Syracuse. The first laps it ever made on a racetrack was at Syracuse. So it was just in total belief of what Kenny Weld and the people that he put together and the program was all put together that could be accomplished. And it was more than accomplished. I mean, it was extraordinary. I mean, to go in there and be that fast You know, and going there, he told me he wanted me to run half laps and not show our hand. And shoot, the car was so good, I just made laps with it, and we were like almost 2 seconds faster to the field, and that getting us in a lot of trouble. We weren't allowed to you know, practice much with the car. They put us on jack stands after, I think, two practice sessions. So, yeah, I mean, to have something that much better than a rest of field is probably once in a lifetime deal that'll ever happen. Maybe never happen ever again. But you know, it took 6 months to build the car, and Kenny Weld did a lot of R&D and development and testing, and knew what he wanted, and just got the right people in the right positions, and we put it all together, and it come together really well. That's basically what we want to try and do again. You know, it's, you might call it a copycat, but we want to get with the right people and deal with the right people, and there's a lot of people interested in this. I stirred this up here about 4 months ago, 5 months ago, we got talking about it, and I've been to several cup races, and everybody's really, really interested in what's going on with this thing. So I'm happy. I'm happy to say that, you know, we got a direction, and I'm going to Syracuse, and I'm going to try and tie all of those things together and dot the I's and cross the T's, and let's hope that we can put it together and get rolling here.
You know, I've got a couple emails, and I think some people have kind of compared you to...
I'm trying to turn the volume up a little bit because I'm just barely hearing you.
Okay, well, that's my fault. I'm backing away a little bit. But where did you really fall into racing? I mean, how did you get into it? What was the start? Who was your heroes? Who were your mentors?
Wow. I go back to when I was about 8 years old. My brother got me going to the races at Medley Speedway, and then from there, I guess when I was about 13, 14, I'd go to Hialeah and sneak underneath the fence, and Pee Wee Griffin and Bobby Malazan and Jackie Owens and Donnie Allison, Bobby Allison, Gil Hearn, and all that bunch from South Florida, you know, would run Hialeah and Medley in Hollywood, and I'd ride in the back of their trucks to the races. But I'm going to say Bobby Allison was my biggest mentor, and of course, Buddy Griffin helped me build my very first race car. So, I mean, I had some good people to guide me and give me direction right from the get-go, you know, and it was pretty easy in the beginning, you know. First car I built the motor and all in high school and shop, and H.C. Wilcox helped me build a short block and Gil Hearn put the cam in it and all that, and we went right out and won the first race I ever raced and won like 37 races that year. And I mean, I said, this is easy, but, you know, the further you go, it gets tougher, it gets harder and harder and harder. And then, you know, after a while, then I started racing professionally for a living, and moved on to running dirt. I hadn't run dirt asphalt for about 11 years, and I moved on and run dirt. And they picked me up from Western Pennsylvania running the dirt and the late model cars to over to modified cars with injectors in New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania. And then from there, I come back and, of course, got involved in the late model cars again and the cup cars and stuff. But, you know, going back, I'm going to say Buddy Griffin helped me build my first car, and H.C. Wilcox and Motor and Gil Hearn, and of course, Bobby Allison. But my hero's always been Bobby Allison and A.J. Foyt. And, of course, now my hero's Kyle Busch. I mean, I'm over-impressed with his talent and ability to how he drives a race car.
Kyle is talent. Boy, you hit a sore subject with me. Kyle's all right. He's a heck of a race car driver.
Yeah.
I'll give him that.
I'm the same way with Tony Stewart. I love Tony Stewart's style also.
Yep.
Tony Stewart comes from oatmeal cars, and yeah, the thing about Stewart is he'll tell you just how he feels and what he thinks. And Kyle's the same way. Kyle's a little young and sometimes a little abrasive, but you can't beat him when it comes to talent. I think he's the best thing that's come down the road in 40 years, man.
Yeah, I think I was reading an article. Kyle got in some trouble on the track or something like that, and I think Tony called him up during the week, and I guess they had a little bit of a pep talk together. So it's kind of cool seeing the, you know, kind of the older guy help out the younger guy. You know, back in the day, I mean, you didn't have 12 and 13-year-old kids getting into the racing thing. You know, now that you've seen racing progress, and now we've gotten into this deal where these big-name teams are sponsoring these young drivers and bringing them up so young. You weren't able to get behind the wheel of a race car at some points in time, you know, in history, where you had to have a driver's license. And now you've got kids out here racing that are totally underage, have never been behind the wheel of a car, but yet they're racing race cars. I mean,
well, they start them a lot younger now. You know, I started when I was probably about 10 or 11 in a go-kart, and just riding in the parking lots and just making laps. And then from there, I mean, I was 14, 15 when I started racing, but now they start them, you know, at 4 or 5 years old in the quarter midgets and the go-karts and so forth. And that's what I'm looking to do also, you know, is to find some younger generation children and kids and go race with them, you know, and build a career for them. That's the way it is now. I mean, you know, look at Kyle Busch, what he's accomplished at, 24 years old. It's incredible. And the same thing with Jeff Gordon. I mean, man, it's unbelievable. Jeff Gordon was in a wing sprint car at 14 years old and went in races in USAC. That's just the future generation and what it's about, you know.
Do you think that they're starting them too young? Do you think they're starting them too young?
I think it's okay, you know, as long as they have the seat time and they're taught right. And you know, you've got somebody there to show them. When I run a cup cars, they want you to be 30 years old before they even let you be in the same garage with them, you know. But nowadays, I mean, they just start so much younger. So it all depends on when they start and how they're trained and how they come about. And, you know, a lot of it's corporate money now, and that's what it's about. It takes a lot of funding. I mean, it's always taken funding, but not like it does now. Everything is store-bought and built, where back in the old days, we used to build everything ourselves.
Earlier today, before we started the show and everything, we sent out some phone numbers and stuff, actually, for people to text us with questions and everything, Gary. And I'd like to get into a couple of those that I've already gotten. But we're going to take a quick little break right now, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to you some more about your racing history and some of the things you have in plan for the future, and find out if we can see Gary Ballou at a track near us somewhere. How about that, bud?
Okay, man.
All right, going to take a break right now inside Florida Racing.
Emptiness inside. But when you come back down, girl, still ain't feeling right. Don't it seem like hits just keep getting harder to find? And all your kids ain't bringing you peace of mind. Before you find out it's too late, girl, you better get straight.
No, but not with kicks. You just need help, girl.
We are back here inside Florida Racing, racing Jason Bechter, Carol Wicks, myself, Jack Smith, talking with Gary Ballou.
And I want to get to one of the text messages that I got in here. They didn't leave their name, but they said they saw you in the M1 car. They were wanting to know, did you drive that, and who owned the car?
The M1 Marinelli's car, Richard Marinelli's car, yeah, out of Bangor, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yeah, they were asking about that and who owned the car, so we got that one out there.
That was a Mulligan car. That was a car that Whip Mulligan built, and it was basically the same type of car as Ferriola's car, the 73 car. And I drove Rich's car on Saturday night at Middletown, New York, and on Sundays at Nazareth, Pennsylvania. And it was a good car, good team. Everybody worked really hard. I mean, it took a lot of good people there, and you know, finance. We didn't have a lot of financial backing, but it was just a lot of back-breaking, you know, and everybody working hard and pulling together. We did well. We won a lot of races with it.
Gary, when was your big break? When did things start going really good in the racing industry for you? I mean, because you were making a living at racing. Who was the person that jumped on board and gave you that break when everything really started gelling and coming together?
Well, I want to basically say, you know, I was making a good living up north racing because I was racing four or five nights, sometimes five, six nights a week. And I had good rides up there. I drove for Ferriolas and I drove for Richard Marinelli and you know, in a Ferrari with a sprint car was doing well there financially, but then I got an offer to come back south to drive for Griffin Motorsports, which was a Banjo Matthews Cup car, and then when the bottom fell out of that, Donnie Allison got to ride with J.W. Hunt, and I went to work for Performer, and when I went to work for Performer, I hooked up with Billy Harvey, and Billy Harvey gave me the opportunity to drive a Cup car, and I run his Cup car, which was a Bastone-built car. And we got some exposure, and then from there I ended up in the Raymond car with Daniel sponsoring us and Pat Derry's. And then, of course, I had some legal problems, and that kind of upset the apple cart. But at that point, I was looking to go into 28-car, Harry Rainier car, and with Waddell Wilson and them and Robert Yates. And, you know, it didn't materialize because of some of the things that happened in my life. But that's about the way it went, you know?
You know, I was going back over some of your stats, and especially with Syracuse, because you're the second most winningest driver there. You won in 76, 77, 78, and then in 1980. What happened in 79? I mean, it looked like you guys
79,
were
79. I believe 79, we were there. We were there. We were there with Billy Harvey's car, and we had motor problems. That was also a Grant King car. I was driving Billy's Cup car at the time, and he wanted to do some dirt racing, so he hooked up with Grant King, and then Grant came to the races with us, and we went to Syracuse, and we had run the car at Middletown, I think, once, and had a rearing problem with it, and then we went to Syracuse, and we lost the motor with it. So that's kind of what happened there.
You know, are you wanting to go back to Syracuse and get that number five, Gary?
You know, five would be nice because Brett Hearn's won five, and Brett Hearn's a protege of mine, and I would like to say, yeah, I won five along with Brett Hearn, but it's not the most important thing in my life. Probably the most important thing is to get back involved in racing and to promote something that will be good for racing and for the future and something that's sellable. You know, what I want to do is the car that we're talking about building is an experimental car, which would be, if we work it out, we're working on it now for Bucknell Racing Products, and it'll be a car built for a mile. You know, like I've always told everybody, I wouldn't take my Highland Speedway car to Daytona, and from what I've learned the last couple of times I've been there is I've taken a Saturday night car and tried to run on a mile, and I can't drive them cars on a mile because they got a lot of rear percentage, and they don't stop real well, and there's a lot of things about them aero-wise that's out of balance, and I want to build something for the mile for Syracuse, not just for a Saturday night car. So it'll be like a Gary Blue edition, limited edition Syracuse car.
You know, with all the advancements in technology, with all the advancements in technology in racing that there is today, I mean, is from your aerodynamic experience over the years, and it just seems like you were self-taught with it. Can any of that carry over? I mean, is there something that you know, you know, aerodynamic-wise with these new cars and everything nowadays that they don't know?
What we know is we know balance. We know we have to have balance from aero to chassis to mechanical grip. And, you know, what they're running up here now, they have a lot of rear percentage and they have a lot of spoiler in the back of the car and they have a lot of sideboard so they can set the car early, you know, for the half-mile racetracks. And to me, the car is out of balance. It flies a nose halfway down the straightaway and you can't drive it off in the corner because the wheels are off the ground. And you can't put any brake in the car because it'll slide the tires. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot in aero. But, you know, what I'm looking for now is 2011 in chassis with Danny Griner out of Indianapolis. You know, he builds all the USAC cars, and he builds the Silver Crown cars and so forth. And we're looking to work with him some and work with engineers with, you know, running a rear sway bar. So we can kind of get some of that aero out of the air down the straightaway. So we're looking at a lot of different things. We're looking at different shock package. We're looking at a different motor program. We're looking at different, you know, they run a small transmission with a motorcycle clutch in it, and we're looking at running a transmission you know, with the right gear ratio for restarts and so forth in the clutch. And in other words, we're looking to build a car to race not just 25 lappers, 30 lappers on a half-mile racetrack to where you pitch it and slide it and run it on a right rear. We want to build a car that runs on all four tires.
You know, you've raced asphalt. You've raced dirt. What do you prefer? It's kind of like that old adage, you know, asphalt's for getting there, dirt's for racing, or dirt's for planting potatoes, and asphalt's for racing. I mean, how do you see it? What's your favorite, dirt or asphalt?
Well, you know, the thing about asphalt is you're going to be dead on, and it's got to stay, and you got to be able to adjust up. And you got to do the same on dirt, but dirt you can move around a little more, and it's a little more driver on dirt to where you can find a different groove. You know, you can move to the top or you can move to the bottom, and you got to stay out of the black, and you can use the cushion. Where asphalt, you got to be dead on. I mean, you got to be balanced with aero to chassis, and you got to be dead on in your adjustments or finer adjustments, and you got to stay on top of it. But then on the other hand, dirt, you know, it's a big game with tires. I mean, you can have the best car there, best aero car there, and best chassis car there, and be off of the tires, and you're done. Of course, with asphalt, we're kind of all on the same tires. And a lot of the dirt racing now, everybody runs the same tire. But that's what I liked about dirt before was that you know, the tire selection was important, and the gear ratio is important. And then you had to pace yourself and save the right rear. Of course, you do that with asphalt, too. But dirt was a little more driver. I must say a little more driver preference, or a little more, you know, with the gas pedal, with the foot feed, that you have more control. Asphalt, you don't dare want to spend the tires and abuse the tires. You have to manage the tires, but I don't know. You know, I like them both. I mean, I enjoyed racing both. Probably out of all of it, you know, as far as asphalt, I really like the big racetracks, the mile and a half, and the speedways. And then, of course, on dirt, I like the sprint cars with wings, you know, because that's all gas pedal. I mean, it's all fuel, you know, steering wheel and gas pedal.
Gary, one of our fans wants to know what your proudest moment as a driver is.
It's hard to say, you know. I mean, I won a nationwide race there at Charlotte 300, Miller 300, and I've won Syracuse four times, and won All-American 400 a couple times, and Snowball Derby a couple times, and National Championship. They were all good, man. I mean, any time that you win, it's an adrenaline rush, and it doesn't matter if it's a 50-lapper on Friday night at Orlando, or a 25-lapper Saturday night at New Smyrna. I mean, it's all good. You know, it takes a lot of people and a lot of talent, a lot of preparation. You know, I always say it's preparation. It's when preparation meets opportunities when you win. So, you got to work hard, and everybody's got to work hard with you. You never win a race by yourself. It takes a group of people, you know?
Yeah, it seems that the guys that win all the time, especially at least in the short tracks, the guys that win a lot, they seem to be the guys that work the hardest Monday through Friday.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, the race is won in the garage. I mean, yeah, you got to work hard at the racetrack, but when you roll out of that trailer, you better be about 99% right to where you can tweak and just rub on the thing and you know, make subtle adjustments and get the car to where it's balanced good. I mean, you're not going to, you know, like when you go to a cup race, you roll out a trailer and you're not right. You very seldom you see anybody turning the thing completely around, you know, meaning getting the thing dead on and just dominate.
Gary, we're just touching on the cup racing here a little bit. Do you think NASCAR right now themselves, you know, does everybody have a bad taste in their mouth with them? Do you think they've bit off more they can chew? I mean, have they shot themselves in the foot? I know with the way the economy is and everything, have they not taken enough steps backwards to try to build their fan base again? Because you can definitely see it.
I think what they tried to do is they tried to make the playing field more equal because of the money. And, you know, they've done that, and the cars are all pretty close, like IROC cars. And now it's got a lot to do with who can adjust the cars the best. And, of course, who can manage the cars the best and get the most out of it, which is good because that's what it's about, racing. And the thing about it is the corporate's got in there, and it's all about money now. It's a lot about money. And the thing that the only thing I don't like about watching it as far as television is all the commercial ads. I mean, there's more of that than there is racing. But that's what it takes. It takes that funding to make that all happen. So that's part of it. That's what we have to live with.
You know, looking back at your history in racing and what you've accomplished, and all the racing that you've done, and you look at racing today, who do you think has the right product out there, as you know, as a series, as a division, as you know, you've got NASCAR, you've got the Truck Series, you've got Dash Series, you've got all kinds of different touring series around the United States, from dirt to asphalt. Who do you think right now has their act together, and what do you look forward to maybe getting involved with that way?
And I think it's what you're asking me is, as far as a product, you know, but as far as product for sponsorship, of course, I mean, we've got everything now. We've got General Foods involved. We've got beer companies. We've got Tide. We've got Procter & Gamble. I mean, we got a little bit of everything involved, you know, and that's what it takes out there right now with just economy and what it takes to fund this stuff. I mean, you're talking about a budget of $30 million a year for 36 races, and that's a lot of money, you know, that's a lot of money. And so, and when you think about the people that are involved and you know, what it takes for salaries and to keep that wheel turning, it's a bunch. It's a bunch. That's the way it is right now. I mean, that's what racing's about. I don't see it coming back or changing. I mean, they're trying to cut back and cut back testing and trying to slow us down a little bit that way so they don't spend as much money. But sometimes I think not testing kind of hurts the show because, when we tested, we had more cars that were capable of winning the race. It wasn't just two or three of them that were real fast. It was 8 or 10 of them. So I don't know. You know, it just takes a lot of liquid to make it all happen.
Definitely, it's what can you bring to the table nowadays with these guys, especially when you start getting into the bigger forms of racing.
Nationwide cars now, they're changing them to the Car of Tomorrow, and they look more like production cars, and that's a good thing, you know, to sell on Monday morning. But I don't know that right now is a good time for all that with economy the way it is, because you know you got a lot of race teams, got 30, 40 of them cars, and you know, what are you going to do with them now? You know what I mean? Because it's a completely different wheelbase, different car, different body, different everything. So, but, you know, in the long run, it will be better, just like, you know, the cup cars. You know, as we go with it, we develop it more and more and more, the racing gets better and better and better and better, and make it to where they run side by side. And now they're talking about changing the splitters and getting rid of the nose and getting the car to where the car is draft good again without being so aero-dependent. So it's just an evolution of change, you know, and it takes to put a show on. That's what it's about. It's all a show. It's a race, but it's a show. I mean, number one, it's a show.
Gary, one of the things that our fan base out there, the people that read Karnak and other websites that focus on short track racing, the old days, I mean, they're like right on the tip of people's tongues all the time. People on the message boards and forums and chat rooms are talking about the old days. Let's go back for a little bit to 1968. You won you were racing in the Governor's Cup in 1968. I think you were driving the 237 car.
Right, Marty Henshaw.
Yeah. Tell us what it was like. Give us a sense and what it was like to be there in those days at Golden Gate Speedway and your experience there.
Well, talking about that, I go back to that. I was like 19 years old, and I was working in a paint and body shop, and they sponsored the car. And I told them, I said, if I win that race, now I'm not coming to work Monday. And we won it, and I didn't go to work Monday, and I got fired. I got fired for winning the race and not coming in Monday. But the other thing was that I was in Air Force Reserves at the time, and I had an excuse not to be at a UTA meeting, and went to Tampa and won the race, and of course it was in the paper, and my first sergeant came back the next meeting and said, well, how'd you do at the race? Kind of stumbled around. He said, well, he showed me the article. He said, did pretty good. You won it, didn't you? I said, yeah. So, I mean, thinking way back then, and then I go back and I think about, you know, Will Kegel run second to us, and he pressured me, was all over me, and the right front brake drum come apart in the car, and in early in practice, we jacked a stud out of the head, I didn't know a whole lot about motors, and I was just a kid, and Marty Henshaw took the motor apart and beat the lifter. I beat the roller out of it and got it apart, and then took the stud and beat it back down and cross-drilled it and put a piece of coat hanger in it to pin it and took the camshaft out of it and took a file to it and filed it. And I said, our odds of finishing this race tomorrow are about 1 in 10 million, and we ended up winning it, you know. So, yeah, that was probably the biggest race that I had won in my early career, you know, winning the Governor's Cup. I mean, back them days, the Governor's Cup was the race in the state of Florida. I mean, that was the biggest race, and everybody was there from all over the place, you know. So that was pretty huge.
How many cars were in that race? Do you remember?
Oh, man. You know, that would probably be 150, 160 cars come to that deal.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
From all over
wow.
the United States they'd come. And it was just a prestigious race. You know, it was like winning the title in Florida. And it was pretty cool.
I can't even begin to imagine that many cars showing up in a Saturday night feature
neither
event.
Neither can Robert Hart.
Yeah.
It sure would be nice, though. That's cool. But those, you know, those days of, like, the golden days of track racing.
I mean, just now, I mean, back them days, like I say, we build our own stuff, you know. I mean, we build our own control arms and spindles and build our cages and build our chassis, 57 Chevrolets and 51 Chevrolets and trucks and so forth. And now everything's so much store-bought that there's no more of that. I mean, yeah, we take the stuff and we redo it. I mean, I've drove Grant King cars and Mulligan cars and Blumbach cars and Howell cars and Dillon cars and Hamke cars and on and on and on and on. Grant King cars and Weld cars. But every one of them cars you take and you put a little personal touch and you massage and make it work for you because you have a certain feel that you're looking for, you know. And once you get that feel and you know what you need, that's what you work at.
You know, Gary, I was, you know, I'm the young guy in the room, so but I kind of grew up on Florida racing. I'm originally from up north in the Ohio area, but we moved down here early on. And I can remember, you know, drivers like Dick Anderson, Butch Lindley, but they had been running down here for years. And you guys had battles going on every Saturday night at any given track in the state. What was it like running with those guys?
You know, I'm going to say, like, you know, just when I went north, I mean, it was pretty cool because when I first went north, I went to New Jersey and so forth. Jackie Evans had run up there, and of course he got killed up there at Reading. And Pee Wee Griffin and Gil Hearn and Rags Carter and Bobby Melison and all that bunch had already been up there. And I'm going to say that Pee Wee went up there and really beat the bee's nest. And by the time I got there, I was kind of a new kid on the block when I started winning races in a Mulligan car. And it was all cool at first. And then and maybe I got to be, I become to where I was winning too much, you know, being from the South. And then it created a little excitement. And then I was a little bit rebellious. And so it got a little exciting there, you know, towards the end of I raced up for about 5-6 summers. And, you know, it got to where they got tired of seeing you win. It's about like Kyle Busch. You know, they don't want to accept the fact that he's as good as he is and talented as he is. They just, you know, because he wins. I mean, and he wins because he works hard at it, and he's got a lot of talent, and he's got a lot of good people around him, and he's got the right deals. And, I mean, that's the way it is, you know. But the more you win, it's like you can be the hero, but you can become the villain real quick too by winning, you know.
You know, that just kind of seals it up for me. I've always said the drivers from the South are a lot more tenacious than the guys up north. You know, you can definitely tell the difference in the driving styles from the guys in the South versus to right up across, you know, up right across the border into Georgia.
But the guys up north do not use the word tenacious. They use other words to describe the racers in the South.
Well, I don't know.
The devil.
I always contribute that, you know, we race more, you know, because weather was better for us and we could run more. You know, we could run like 48 weeks a week, a year, you know, where they only run 6 months a year. So, I mean, that was a lot of it. But, of course, being from Motor City and all that up there, they had access to a lot more technology than we had. But some of the best race drivers I ever raced against were from up there. I mean, you take Dick Trickle, Bob Seneker, Ed Howe, I mean, on and on and on. I mean, Tommy Merrill, I mean, there's some race drivers up there that were phenomenal, you know. So I don't know that the Southern race drivers were any better. I mean, and you get into modified cars, you got Pulaski and Osmond and Brett Hearn, and I mean, you know, with that era, and Frankie Snyder and Al Tasnaddy going way back, and Mulligan and Toby Tobias, and then you got the drivers from the West, Weld and all that bunch, you know. So I can't say that, you know, they're any better from the North or from the South or from the East or from the West. I mean, you got talent everywhere, you know.
Sure enough.
Gary, we're going to take a little bit of a break here on the Real Racing USA Networks and Inside Florida Racing. And right now, we'll be right back, and we'll talk some more with Gary Ballou on Real Racing USA. It's Inside Florida Racing.
Why?
future of medicine is happening now. Utopia Wellness in Clearwater, Florida is a leading-edge medical center that offers integrative, holistic, patient-focused medical treatments. Utopia offers a full menu of wellness programs that complement each other by addressing all the issues related to well-being. Programs at Utopia Wellness are designed for anyone who wants to enjoy optimal health. Whether you're suffering from a chronic illness or simply wanting to prevent disease, Utopia has a personalized program that is right for you, including alternative cancer therapies, chronic degenerative illnesses, heart and vascular disease, immune system enhancement, detoxification and colon therapy, and medical weight loss. I invite you to call 727-799-9060 or visit utopiaawaits.com. That number again is 727-799-9060. My name is Jack Smith, and I highly recommend Utopia Wellness.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
Bad things do happen to good people. It's a sad fact of life. Sometimes you just have to have an attorney to represent you or your family. I recommend attorney Timothy M. Grogan. Timothy Grogan is a Florida-based lawyer with offices in St. Petersburg, Venice, and Bradenton. Attorney Timothy Grogan's firm provides the skill and knowledge you deserve with legal representation in the areas of criminal defense, bankruptcy law, foreclosure protection, real estate law, and family law. www.timothygrogan.com for the office nearest you. Remember, bad things do happen to good people. When you need an attorney, I recommend Timothy Grogan. www.timothygrogan.com.
Inside Florida Racing on the Real Racing USA Networks. I'm your host, Racing Jason, along with Jack Smith and Carol Wicks, who's having fun sitting over in the corner tonight. And our guest tonight, Mr. Gary Ballou, the man, the myth, the legend. Gary, can you hear me all right there, buddy? Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's a little better when you speak up.
All right, cool, cool, good deal. You know, we're touching on racing in Florida. One of the other places I want to touch on is basically your home track, Hialeah. Johnny Mirandino gave you your first late model ride in Hialeah in the number 84. It was a 1957 Chevy. How was that moving up from the hobby stock division in 65?
Well, you know, that was probably one of my biggest breaks. Mirandino took a gamble on me. You know, I mean, like I said, we built that little hobby car and won a bunch of races. And Uncle Herb, I call him Uncle Herb Tillman, was driving, you know, for Mirandino at the time. And he went to John and said, well, how about trying this kid? And John stepped up to the plate and said, come on, let's try this thing. And I got to drive it That was a big break for me. You know, that kind of got my late model career started.
You know, Hialeah is one of those tracks that we've lost, and it's such a sad thing seeing all these tracks drop by the wayside. That place had a lot of history, and I know you had a lot of history there, and talked to several drivers over the year about that place, and we were very sad to see it go. With tracks disappearing, I know you've been involved and been around Florida racing for a while. Do you think, I personally think the racing has definitely gotten track-wise pretty bad. I mean, with you getting back into racing, I mean, how do you see Florida racing? Is it getting worse, or is there a light at the end of the tunnel? Do you think we can dig out of it?
The best thing we got in South Florida, of course, is Homestead. You know, and even Homestead struggling, you know, as far as attendance. But, man, I'm telling you, you know, we've lost Fort Pierce, we lost Hollywood, we lost Miami Hollywood, we lost Hialeah, we lost Bedley, we've lost a lot of racetracks. And, you know, our best thing right now in Florida is probably New Smyrna and Orlando and Bradenton and Lake City. You know, I mean, Ocala, we don't have a whole lot left in Florida like we had in the past.
What racing in Florida? What was one of your favorite tracks to run at, besides Hialeah?
Nissan Murder for Tourists has probably been my favorite track, probably one of my best tracks as far as my records and what I've done in racing. I would say, you know, Nissan Murder was probably my favorite track in Florida.
You know, at the beginning of the show, we touched on you guys are coming out with this new experimental car, and you mentioned Chip Ganassi and some of the folks that you're going to be working with. I mean, are we going to see Gary Ballou at a track near us here somewhere in Florida sometime soon and behind the wheel of a stock car?
Oh, yeah. We're working right now on a Hamke car, a new Hamke car, with Michael Kay and Bobby Orr. And we're also with Mike Hagee building a motorsport. It's probably going to be a Dodge. That's what it looks like right now, and I'm gonna run some here local in New Smyrna and Bradenton and Orlando and probably Lake City a little bit and wherever in Arbordale, just to get some seat time and see how I stack up and how I feel. You know, I've been out of a race car for a while, so we're gonna run a little bit and see what comes out of it, because this Syracuse thing is a whole more important, a lot more important than just Gary Ballou winning it again. It's about selling cars, selling motors, and doing something 2011.
You know, you've had a bunch of people jump on board with you and help you out in getting this thing started. Are they looking at you right now to maybe mentor some young drivers that are coming up through the ranks?
Yeah, we got several that we're looking at right now, and people that we're talking to with sponsorship and some young drivers for sure.
That's too cool, because we had touched on, you know, the kids being so young and getting into racing. I think they need somebody that's going to be able to take them underneath their wing and point them in the right direction. So far, I've seen a lot of young kids come up through racing in Florida. You got their dad screaming in their ears and everything, but definitely need somebody with, you know, that has the professional knowledge and point them in the right direction, and I think that's going to be a good deal. Any chance of you getting down our way around the Punta Gorda area, running on the asphalt there, and maybe over on the dirt in Hendry County?
Probably not the dirt. I come over there and do a little testing with a modified, but most of the testing looks like right now is going to be scheduled for Volusia after Speed Weeks, and most of our aero testing we'll either do it in Georgia, in Jeffco, or New Smyrna, because both of them places were real aero sensitive when I raced there, and they're both good tracks for me, so that's probably where we'll test aero and chassis. You know, I mean, it sounds crazy to take a dirt car and test on asphalt, but that's just to get a balance.
Right.
Then we'll take it to the dirt and flog it on the dirt, and like I said, before we go to Syracuse, we're going to go to Springfield after the USAC car is running on the mile.
So, going to Syracuse, man, I can't wait for that. I'm going to try to make it up there for that. That's going to be a neat deal. You know, you got three children, Brian, Jason, Kimberly. Are they involved in racing also?
Brian's involved a little bit with me in racing. And, of course, my oldest one, Dr. Danny, was involved in race cars. And he's right there every day involved in it. And they're going to be a big part of it. So, yeah, I'm fortunate to have a couple boys there that's old enough to be involved.
If there was something that you could tell your fans, I mean, because you have such a big following, with you getting back into the racing business, if there was something you could tell your fans right now, what would it be?
Well, I'm going to say go online and watch what we're doing and watch what's to come. And we got a lot of good support and a lot of good people that are interested in what's going on here. And, of course, you know, there's some things that I'm working on also, you know, with some major race teams, with Kyle Busch's deal, his truck deal, with Rick Rannon, and also Richard Childress Motorsports, RCR. If some of that comes about, that would be really good for me. So I'm working in that direction also, but the modified car, we're definitely going to do that. And we're just in the mode right now of putting it all together and finishing it up. And like I said, dot the I's across the T's. And it's going to be fun, man. To have everybody to watch and hang on, it's going to be a good ride.
Well, you know, Gary, if guys, there's some guys out there still racing and getting checkered flags that are a lot older than you are, so I know you can do it, man.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. We got Dickie Anderson out there, man. He still gets them.
I know. I'm trying to get somebody to come up with some money to get you two in a grudge race.
somebody, I was in New Smyrna here about a month ago, and then somebody came up and wanted to put me in his car instead of giving $3,000. Let me drive his car. He said, "Dang, it won't take that but a minute right now." So I mean, Dick and I are good friends, and you know, of course, Wayne grew up around me and my kids, and we're all good friends, and we race forever and live together racing. And I'd like to, you know, once to get the slate model car together, Dick and I have a showdown someplace, you know.
Gary, we really appreciate having you on. Carol wanted me to tell you hello and her best wishes to you. She's sitting over there, and she was fiddling with her mic and broke it already tonight, so she didn't get to talk very much.
Well, it's real good to talk with you, Gary, and you know, you have a lot of fans, not just here in Florida, of course, all over the country. And I understand you might have a birthday coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm going to be 39.
All right.
Well, now I don't feel so young.
You're too young to know who Jack Benny is, I'm sure.
I'm not. You know I'm not. I'm almost as old as you are, man. But that's cool, man. I really appreciate you being here with us on Inside Florida Racing. Wish you the best of luck, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you in the future, Gary.
All right, man. Thanks for having me, and y'all have a good evening.
Thank you.
Take care, Gary.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Man, I tell you what.
Gary Ballou.
Gary Ballou, man.
We've been trying to do this interview for a long time.
I have to thank you. Thank you. We were talking earlier, and it was like, you know, I've never really been nervous talking to heroes of mine, race car heroes or anything like that. I interviewed Garth Brooks once, and I wasn't this nervous. I mean, just the name Gary Ballou, I mean, you know, he changed the face of open-wheel modified racing. You know, it's a very big deal. Can't wait to see what he has in store. I think that's going to be a pretty neat deal, especially when he goes back to Syracuse. That's going to be pretty interesting.
I bet we could do 2 more hours with him and not get bored.
You just line up the questions and let him go with them, man.
You don't even have to. He just keeps going.
I'd love to be sitting like, you know, in a bar room setting with him, just sit down, relax, and then just talk racing. You know, and just listen to the stories that come up. You could probably write a really
good
book
about
it.
I'd like to sit in a bar room with him and Dickie Anderson and talk racing. Oh, my God.
You might have to. I don't know. You think you might have to put somebody in between them?
Me.
We'll put you between them. Okay. Oh, geez.
You know.
It'd be good for laughs.
Did you are announcing that at Henry County Motorsports Park and doing some other things, Jason?
Doing a lot of stuff, actually. Been out there announcing for King Kenny Jr. at the Henry County Motorsports Park. It's been a little bit of a battle out there. He's needed some help, and we're finally getting it pointed in the right direction. I mean, you know, the season is getting very short, and we're looking towards next year. Been going out doing some United Dirt League Model Challenge Series stuff with him. And that's been a lot of fun coming over from the asphalt. Of course, I was over at Punta Gorda for a long time. And still going back over there on my nights off and doing some side-by-side announcing with Mr. Bill Green over there. So having a good time. Actually, we got a really big race coming up out at Hendry County on the 24th and the 25th. It is the 3rd annual Kim Allen Memorial with the Sunoco United Dirt League Model Challenge Series. It's going to be a 50-lap race, 2 days of racing, Friday and Saturday. Friday night's going to be test and tune for the late models and a couple other classes. We're going to be running the street stocks and the pure stocks on Friday night. That's going to be a full race event, also mini stocks. And then we're going to roll into Saturday night with the big race with the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Point race really tightening up with that. Mark Whitener right now is our points leader.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Who's on it? Who's on him? Who's coming after him?
I think Tyler Ivey's got a chance. I know Keith Nosbitch is right there with him. The points just came out. Several of the drivers had some drop races in the 10-race shootout. And Tyler Ivey's been coming on like the proverbial freight train. Johnny Collins.
But he is the freight train.
Johnny Collins is the train, man.
That's right. The
freight train.
That's right.
And he's got a lot of points to make up. So he's going to be after him big time coming up here on the 25th at the Hendry County Motorsports Park. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Tickets are only going to be, $20 at the gate, day of the show. If you log on to our website, HendryCountyRacing.com, download the flyer, you can save $5. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I've enjoyed going out to the dirt, just like we were talking with Gary Ballou earlier. You know, I asked him what was his favorite, dirt or asphalt, and it was kind of a toss-up. He likes both of them. So there, Rob Kohler, there you go. Dirt's just for racing? No. Asphalt's for racing too, buddy.
Yeah, buddy, Rob. But, you know, there is a lot of things coming up. We got the Hialeah reunion coming up in November up in Kissimmee.
Mm-hmm.
The second annual Eddie Brand race up in Citrus County,
December, and then the Governor's Cup in late November, in Smyrna Speedway.
Then coming up on Real Racing USA and Inside Florida Racing, we've got we're talking about USA Speedway and the history there.
And
God, I missed that track.
We hope to have one of the new promoters in Florida Racing on next week. We're trying to twist Kevin Williams' arm to come on our show next week. We'll see.
Yeah, he's got to answer that phone first.
He's so busy trying to get that track up in tip-top shape.
I tell you what, it's hard getting hold of him. Jack's got three numbers. I got two. But, yeah, he's a busy man. Mm-hmm. He's a busy man.
There's a lot of stuff. But I'll tell you what, tomorrow night, it's baseball for Jack. Me and Scott McAllister, Scotty Mac, we're going to see the Yankees and the Rays play.
Ah, too cool.
Can't wait.
Hey, one thing I'd like to say is thank you, Jack, for bringing Inside Florida Racing back. We missed it, and you started off with a bang. I don't know how you're going to top this one.
Well, you know, I decided I might as well come back and do the radio because I can't lift anything over 10 pounds. I can't bend over real good. I can't go work in the yard. The only thing I figured I can do is I can still run my mouth, so might as well come do this.
Well, we're
thank you guys for coming and doing this show. We're going to have some fun with it.
No problem, our pleasure. We were joking earlier. Jack, now whenever he goes to the doctor, he has to go to the garage. They got to put him on a lift and get out the pneumatic tools.
Metrics only.
Yeah. He's stapled together. Well, thank God he's here, and I enjoyed the show tonight. Thank you.
It was a lot of fun, and big thanks to Gary Ballou for coming on board. And we're going to sign off right now. I tell you what, the Batmobile, the innovator in open-wheel modified racing.
All right, good night from Inside Florida Racing.
Hey, Cece, get better.
Yes, missed you.
Drink some alcohol when you do the St. Pete Boogie. You really gonna have a ball when you do the St. Pete Boogie. You really gonna have a ball down the south side of town, yeah, in some hole in the wall. I got to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. I've got to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. Bar hopping and high topping. Hey Lord, can't you hear me call? Don't be contemplating crime.
You've been listening to a production of Real Racing USA.